Yeah, last time we were together, we were in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and we had looked at Jesus calming the seas. And today, as they get to the other side of the lake, finally, after the stormy sea, they land at the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite to Galilee. This is Gentile country. These weren't Jews. And the Spirit of God directed them to go there. Jesus had said, let's go over to the other side of the lake. There was a reason. Because there was brokenness there. Because there was ruin there. Because there was absolute devastation there. Jesus goes to places of devastation. He does. Jesus doesn't stay in an ivory tower. He never did when he left heaven and came to earth. He came to seek and save lost sinners. He came into the trenches. He came into the hard places. And this was not an easy place. Where he was going, people were avoiding. The Bible tells us in one passage that people were fleeing from that place because of the devastation that was there. And I just want you to know that Jesus goes to hard places. And I'm so glad that he did, because he came to my hard heart. And he met me where I was at. And he's come to each one of us. And all of us have our own kind of hardness, okay? Whether it's our pride or our self-righteousness or whether it's a drug addiction or whatever it is, all of us have our own hardness. But Jesus is willing to come to those difficult places, places where no man wants to go. But Jesus is willing to go there. And I bless the Lord for that. I thank God for his great compassion. Indeed, at the end of this story, he says, he tells the guy to go and tell others what great compassion the Lord has had on you. So as we come to this story, we find the Spirit of God moving and working and bringing Jesus right to where the need was. So he steps out on the land, and there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. He wore no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but he lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, and he fell down before him with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he would break the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. And always, it says in Mark chapter 5, a little bit more about him. And always, Mark 5:5, night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. Luke 8:30. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned. In Mark chapter 5, it tells us there was around 2,000 pigs. And when those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. And then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also had seen it told him by what means he had been demon-possessed, who had been demon-possessed, how he was healed. And the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man for whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. And in Mark 5:20, he says, he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. What a story. Demon possession. I suppose it kind of makes a person shudder a little when you think about that. But really, there are still people who are being possessed by demons. Now, some people would say, oh, that's just mental illness. No, there's a difference. There's a difference in certain aspects here because these demons recognize exactly who Jesus Christ was. And there are times, I'm sure, that mentally ill people are influenced by the devil just like we are. And they don't probably have some of the controls in place to be able to stay on an even keel. But mental illness is not demon possession, okay? I want to say that. Though our doctors and everything, they're much in the dark with a lot of mental illness, and a lot of it they don't understand, and sometimes it may be demon possession. They wouldn't know it. They would never acknowledge that that's the case. But people can be possessed by demons. And some of the doorways that people open to that direction is where you give up the control of your life to something else. Drug use can bring on demon possession. I remember years ago reading of a man who worked with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association who was a Hindu guy, and he remembered his uncle would go into these fits of rage and be able to do things that were impossible for a man to do. And as he grew up, he ended up having the same kinds of fits of rage through worshiping cows and worshiping other things and looking for to release the kundalini, the snake inside of you, to have the control of your body. And he discovered that he was no longer in control of his life, that there were seasons and times where he was completely under the control of demons. He got saved. I can't tell you the whole story, but he ended up becoming a Christian. And after he became a Christian, this was in the 70s, he began to work with Billy Graham in doing ministry amongst drug addicts and people who were, you know, severely addicted to drugs. And he discovered the same patterns of demonic control that he had experienced in these people and saw great deliverance for many of them. So it's a real thing. I don't want to mitigate that. I want to make that less than what it is. But what I want to do today, mostly, is to talk about what the devil does. Because in demon possession, you see the fullness of what the devil does, but he's doing this all over the world. And even though people are not demon-possessed, not everybody's demon-possessed, obviously, not just because you're not a Christian doesn't mean you're demon-possessed, but certainly demonically influenced. And our society, the Bible says the whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one. We like to sing song, he got the whole wide world in his hands, but the scriptures actually say that the whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one. That is the world system. Now, God is sovereign over all, and God is sovereignly in control. The liberty that the devil has gotten in this world has come because we've given it to him. Did you hear that? We've given it to him. Adam and Eve were tempted in the garden, and the devil comes along and he says, here, you know, just take this and you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. And the fall happened, and because of that, we were the ones who were given the stewardship of the world. But we thought the devil would do a better job than us. God had given us that stewardship. And so, in a sense, we abdicated our stewardship and we allowed the devil to come into the picture, and he has brought ruination on the human race ever since. And he's influencing the human race in dramatic ways. And he has been, so that 1 John 5 can tell us that the whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one. And yet, at the same time, all authority is given to Jesus Christ in heaven and earth. And you might say, well, how can the two be true? Because Jesus is Lord, sovereign over all. He says to the devil, this far and no farther. And the devil bows down. And we see that contrast here. A while ago, we saw how Jesus came to the gate of Nain where a woman's son had died. You remember that? A column of life and a column of death met one another. In this passage of scripture, we have the force of light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the prince of darkness meeting here. And we see who wins. We see who wins. So I want you to understand that even though this subject is a little bit hard to look at, we have someone who is greater than Satan, greater than Lucifer, and greater than all of his screams, and greater than all of his power. And so we have here the epitome of the most miserable of all men. The epitome of someone who has is absolutely racked and ruined by Satan's possession and power and influence on his life. But we see some of the patterns and some of the things that the devil did in his life, and we can look and look in our society and see the devil's doing the same things, the very same things. And we ought to realize that it is spiritual wickedness in high places that we're dealing with. It's not just bad people making bad decisions. They are being well influenced by Satan. There is a real devil. Tell me, do you have to look far to find the devil's work? No, you don't. But I want you to know you don't have to look far to find God's work either. Creation itself screams at everyone, testifies to everyone of the glory of God and his wonderful character and the things that he has done. So when we look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to see certain things about... Yeah, here's the passage in Matthew 8:28. It says these. Actually, it says in that passage there was two demon-possessed men. Luke and Mark focus on the one, but there were actually two. And they were. It says they were coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so no one could pass that way. They were so wild. No one, everyone avoided the place. So when we consider, I want to give you a verse to start with here in John 10:10. Now some of this I've preached on already because we went through the Gospel of Matthew and we were in this story. So some of this will be the same. But it says in John 10:10, this is what he says. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his mission. That's his ministry. And he's speaking of the wicked one here. And I want you to know that there's no mercy with the devil. The devil says, I've kicked you enough. I'm not going to kick you one more time. The devil kicks you while you're down. And he keeps on kicking. And he never stops. He never stops. And listen, he's bigger than you are. He's slightly older than you are. He's been around a long time. He was there when Jesus was crucified. So this is a pretty potent enemy when you stop and think about it. The Bible calls him a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so it's not a small thing to realize there is a real devil who's really at work in this world. And that you, in your own puny little strength, cannot stand up to him. Now, he can't just willfully possess everybody in the world. People open the door to demonic influence. I'll tell you what, people who are involved in seances, people who are involved in spiritism, people who are involved in idol worship, the Bible says behind every idol is a demon. That's what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, behind every idol is a demon. So people who are involved in idolatry, they are opening the doorway to further influence and sometimes to actual possession. You don't seek to talk to the dead, because you're not talking to the dead, you're talking to demons. Yesterday, a man told me a story about how his father had lost his wife, his mother, and he was devastated by it. And so he meets a person who says, you want to talk to your mother? Come to this seance and you'll be able to talk to your mother. So his father went there, and his father sat in this meeting, and all of a sudden the man's voice changed exactly into the voice of his mother. The guy had never met his mother, and she began to tell him things that only she would know. It sounded like it was her, and so he instantly believed that it was his mother, and he became involved in spiritism for a number of years, 8 or 10 years, and constantly had these conversations with his mother. But it wasn't his mother. Demons can imitate people who died. They can look like them. They can sound like them. And do you think they know the things that happened that nobody else might know? Yes, they're in the spiritual realm. And so, but people don't think of those things. They think, well, it must be because they know things that only my mother would know. So it must be my mother. And so he went in that vein for almost 10 years. And then he got a visit from Jehovah's Witnesses, and they showed him in the Bible how it's sinful to do that. It said, the Bible says you're not to seek mediums or anything like that. So he was kind of shocked by that, didn't know it was there. So he decided, well, I can't do that anymore. So he became a Jehovah's Witness. So then, after a number of years, he ran into someone who was born again and began to share the gospel with him, and he got saved. And he could look back and he could see this was all demonic work. The Bible says the devil can come as an angel of light. So can he imitate your mother? Yes, he can. Does he have any qualms about it? Not at all. So those are dark things to talk about, but they're real, and they happen in our world, and people are sucked in by it, and television programs are full of this kind of foolishness, drawing people to some other place than to Jesus Christ. Yes, it is big business. You're right. It is big business. And most of it is charlatanry, but charlatans, but sometimes these people have actually demons controlling them, and they're using that influence to turn people away from God. I wouldn't want to count how many times I went to homes and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I begin to talk about Jesus with people, and you know what comes up right away? Well, do you believe in forerunners? Do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in the, and then the story goes. That's their spirituality, you see? When I talk about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they want to talk about the spirits they know. Dark stuff, friends. And sadly, many a home in Cape Breton, a lot of fear came into a lot of little hearts as mums and dads and people gathered around to tell their little ghost stories and their forerunners and the things that they saw. That's not what Jesus has come to bring. It's the opposite. It's the place of darkness. And so when we read here, it says the thief doesn't come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There's a better way. We don't need ghost stories. We don't need dark stories. We don't need horror stories or horror films filled with all the spiritual darkness. We don't need those things in our lives, and we shouldn't be promoting them nor encouraging them in any way. So I'm going to look at some of the patterns that we see in this demon-possessed man, and we can see the broader pattern in our societies where the devil has sway and influence. The first one that we see here, occupied with death. He had his dwelling among the tombs. I wouldn't want to know how many movies today are occupied with death. The whole zombie thing, right? Dead people coming back, but not resurrection, not life resurrection that Jesus Christ brings. No, not at all. But dripping with their death, dripping with their horror, fascination with death. We have a culture that is fascinated with those things. Vampire movies, vampire books, all those kinds of things that are predominant in our culture today, they all have a fascination with death, but not a healthy one. I mean, Christians can face death head on, but we face it because we know it's been conquered through Jesus Christ. We face it because we have a hope in God that's greater, and we know who we believe in. But others are looking at it from a macabre place, from a place of horror, from a place of wanting to somehow get their thrills and chills out of death itself. And so we can see that the culture of our society has been swayed deeply by demons. That's part of the influence of the devil, an occupation with death. Violence is another one. No one could bind him, not even with chains. He'd often been bound with shackles and chains. The chains were pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Fits of rage and violent. It's amazing now. Terms that you never once heard before, road rage, right? Road rage. You ever heard that term? Yeah. Well, they got different names for different rages now that people have, right? And it's almost like there's no self-control. Did you know that the fruit of the Spirit is, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control? Out of control people. That's pretty predominant in our culture, isn't it? And we find even more and more now, we find people just snapping and going with guns and blowing people away. Fits of rage. No reason, no self-control. Their minds are snapping. And this rage is not far under the surface. And it's not far under the surface when you go to a city St. Louis, Missouri, was it not, where the man was shot to death? And whether he was rightly shot or wrongly shot, before long you have a mob and fits of rage. There's a very thin veneer we have that we're calling civilization, where people can get pretty wild pretty quickly. And so we see violence is so much a part of our culture today. It's so much a part of our culture. And at the same time, we have video games and everything just pumped at kids. Video games where, you know, the guy's, he's a car thief. And everybody, you know, thinks it's wonderful. And they play these games. And they realistically, we got to have more blood in these games. So that when you shoot the person, the blood splats out everywhere. And even your movies. And, you know, I mean, I used to watch old westerns. But they didn't have the blood flying out of everybody. And, you know, the guts and the gore. And the gorier it is, the better it is. All influencing from the devil on our culture and our society. So the devil's busy, and he's doing these things to desensitize people and to cause people to be fascinated with horror and with violence. No control. Out of control. It says he was bound with shackles and chains and no one could bind him. Not only is there this sense where we saw of occupied with death, violent, but no control. Just easily going in the wrong direction. People are giving the control of their lives over to drugs, to alcohol, to booze, to recreation, to the point where they're just almost mindless, where reality disappears. I know young men who should be out working who are sitting in front of video games almost 24/7. And they're not living in a real world at all. They're not in control of their lives anymore. This controls their lives. And these role-playing games that they're playing become the real world to them. The real world's not there. They're wasting away. Young people are wasting away because they're out of control. And so these are some of the works that the devil does. He drives people into lonely places. We have the loneliest culture in North America. You can be in a crowd and be one of the loneliest people. And people are lonely. It's amazing how lonely people are. How much they are driven off by themselves. The devil likes to drive people into lonely places. He wants to keep people from help. He wants to keep people from others who are willing to come alongside and be real with them. We have such a plastic society that everybody can meet one another and everybody says hi to one another, but there's not much reality in relationship there. God wants us. He has the opposite of that, doesn't he? He calls us to not to a lonely place, but to fellowship with one another, to look for opportunities to be together with the people of God, to see things as they really are, to be willing to be able to open up and share with one another our burdens and our cares and pray for one another that we might be healed. The devil wants to drive you into a lonely place. And he does it all. These patterns are there as we can see that he was driven into a lonely place. And not only that, self-destruction and mutilation. Suicide is rampant. They don't report it in the news. There's a reason why they don't. Do you know why they don't report it in the news? It is so rampant that the only time you get the reports is sometimes on a reserve where it is so incredibly unbelievable as, you know, literally hundreds of kids are taking their lives. Pardon me? Yes, that's true, where, you know, it can't be hidden, so to speak, where it gets so rampant that they can't hide it. But suicide is so much a part of our culture, so much so that now we legalize it. See how far we're going? You see where the devil's taking our society? Right down the tubes. Furthermore, what was this person doing? He was cutting himself with stones. Have anybody heard of cutting? Cutting is so prevalent today among young people because they want to feel something. Even if it means pain. They want to feel something. Desensitized. By the time they're 14 or 15 years old, they're lonely, driven into lonely places, exposed to violence, no self-control in their lives, miserable, unhappy, and so why not cut myself? And it's amazing that people get addicted to cutting themselves. It's hard for me to picture that because I've never had the desire to do that. But they're addicted to it. So when they really feel down and out and miserable and everything, they get a knife and they start cutting away at themselves. That's pretty dramatic, isn't it? It's pretty obvious that there's darkness there when these kinds of things happen. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that does these things are possessed by a devil. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying that the devil has such kind of influence in a broad sense over all of our society that its darkness is encroaching our land and is becoming more and more prevalent in every way. The last thing that we can see in this list of things is that he was naked. He wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. He was... Luke 8:27, immorality, no modesty, and no morality. Just complete rejection of morality. There's a reason why we cover up. And there's a reason because God has done that. God covered them because sin has come in the world. And because sin has come in the world, then there's a necessity for it to be covered. The Bible says that. But we are in a society that throws all that out the window too. So pornography and nudity and everything that comes with it is part and part of the culture of our land. The devil's busy, isn't he? So this is part of the devil's work, some of the things that we see listed here. But I do want to encourage you that Jesus Christ can meet every one of these issues head on. He can deliver young people from cutting themselves. He can set people free from suicide. Yesterday, I was at camp this weekend, and I'm going to post this man's testimony online, but he was speaking at camp this weekend. And I asked him, I said, I'd like you to share your testimony with me, and I'll post it up. His name is Peter Kerr. Peter Kerr is from South Africa. And he was, it was actually his father that was the one that I said that had gotten involved in these seances and eventually became a believer. But Peter Kerr became a believer long before he did. When his mother died at 8 years old, his father just lost it and attempted suicide and then got into spiritism. And he said the home was awful. He said in all the spiritism that he was involved in, his father had fits of rage. It didn't make him a better person. It made him a worse person. So as Peter was growing up, he said it was a hopeless, we had a hopeless, depressed, despairing life. He said, I was so depressed with and I became involved in alcohol, and I believe he said drugs. I'm not quite, don't quote me on that one. But he said, I wanted to end my life. So he went down to the beach one day, and he went walking out into the waves. The waves were high, and he said, I'm just going to drown myself. I'm going to walk out until I'm dead. And that day, there was a woman and her son, a little boy. They lived not too far from the beach. Anyway, he said, Mama, let's go down to the beach. And she said, well, no, the waves are high today. Stay home. But then a thought came to her that she should pray about this, that maybe God had a reason for her to go there. And as she went to her room and prayed and came out and says, yeah, so let's go to the beach. So she goes down on the beach. She's walking. Nobody else there. She sees this boy, this teenager, walking out deliberately out into the waves. And she knew that something's wrong here. She's a Christian. So she started praying for him. Walked by, but kept praying. Peter said, I was out there, determined to keep on going in utter misery, and all of a sudden I heard my name, Peter. He said, I looked around, Peter. So he turns around, nobody there. It hit him so hard that he came back in and walked to the shore. And he started walking down the beach, and he caught up to this woman with her son. And she began to talk to him about Jesus Christ. He had never heard about the love of God and what Jesus Christ had done for him. And there on the beach, as she began to share with him, he said, I fell to my knees in the sand and I called on Jesus Christ and asked him to save my soul. And he got saved and gloriously changed. and delivered from depression and darkness and suicide and everything else that came with it, and became a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're recording all his messages. We'll put them up online. Great preacher. A man who loves the Lord. Full of compassion. But can Jesus meet the darkness? Can he break the chains? Does he only did it back then, or can he still do it today? He can meet those dark corners. He can invade them. And even there, here was a young man who wasn't calling on God. It was a man who was just going out to destroy himself. And as he was walking out to destroy himself, God took compassion on him, raising a woman who's up at her house with her son. The little boy had the idea of going to the beach. Where did that come from? It came from the Lord. God is so much in control. Yes, we know that the devil has such powers and has influenced people, and there's so much darkness in our world and so much influence from the wicked one. But Jesus Christ is still in control, and he can rescue sinners. If there's a lesson in some of that for me, it's let's be quick to respond to the leading of God. Let's be sensitive to, Lord, guide my steps every day. Who knows where you might be led to, and who you might have the opportunity to share a word to that can transform that person's, someone's life for eternity. She was sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God, and that brought this young man to the Lord. So I just want to praise the Lord and thank God for the truth that sets us free, for the gospel and its power, because what can fly in the face of all of this demonic power? More education. Will that do it? We are the most educated people that have ever lived. And look at the fools that we are. We are the most educated people that have ever lived. And yet we can stand up and have in a classroom and say to a girl that's standing there who's a girl and tell all the class, no, that this is a boy now. We're fools. When we go with so educated, we don't see reality any longer. And I mean, we can multiply that in a thousand ways at the foolishness that we have come up with because we are without God. Education won't fix this. It won't. More money won't fix it. More money has not fixed it. I know areas where they had no money and they were living bad enough. But when lots of money showed up, they only lived worse. All it did was feed their sin and feed the habits and cause more chaos and destruction in their lives. Won't fix it. Prosperity doesn't fix it. Laws don't fix it. No matter how much laws and legislation we have, it doesn't change the heart of man. Only Jesus Christ can set the captives free. And he does. And he's still doing it today, friends. So, what do I say about it all? Well, we shouldn't be ignorant of the devil's devices. We should see, yeah, he is powerful. The devil's at work. However, we must never forget that our God is more than able to meet the devil head on and to defeat him. Quickly, when we look at this story, we find what happens here. When these demons meet Jesus Christ, it says this. When he says 2,000 demons, okay, this one against 2,000. What happens when he saw Jesus? He cries out and falls down before him. The Bible actually says in another passage that they worshipped him. You say, oh, how can the devil worship God? Well, it is not happy worship. It is forced worship. You know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the demons will all bow before him. And the picture is given here that these demons bow down before him and they know who he is, Son of the Most High. And I beg you, do not torment me. And actually, the scripture says, before the time. They know there's a time coming of great torment for them. He said, have you come to torment us before the time? They know who's Lord. They know who's in control. They know how sovereign Jesus Christ is, and demons fall before him. So praise God, we have hope in Jesus Christ. For the most broken, for the most influenced, for the most demon-possessed person, there's hope in Jesus Christ. So keep calling out to the Lord. Keep looking to the Lord for those broken ones, for those ruined ones. Jesus does have compassion on broken people. And we know that even here, as the demons were under this control, they begged him that he would not command him, Luke 8:31, to go out into the abyss. And you know what that actually means, I can't say. It seems as if he can banish them from even being an influence in this world if he so chooses to. And yet, until the end of time, people have given way to the devil, so that there are still demons that are working in this world, but some of them are in chains. It seems clear in the scriptures that it speaks about some of these angels and demons that have been kept in chains, reserved for judgment. That's what it tells us, I believe, in the book of Jude. So now, they said, we don't want to be those. Throw us in, let us go into those pigs. They begged him, he would permit them to enter into the swine, into the pigs. So they try it. Jesus said, okay, you want to go into pigs, go into pigs. You know, animals are I don't know. They just couldn't handle them. The pigs all ran over the cliff. They couldn't survive with the demons in them. As soon as they entered the pigs, they all died. Another picture of death. That all that they could produce. So it didn't do them much good to go into pigs. Didn't last very long at all. And so, But this man, in the middle of all of that, we see the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, but we discover this man, the man was clothed in his right mind, and he wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to follow Jesus. This man received deliverance. Praise the Lord. I don't know all there is to know, but I do know that Jesus Christ wins. And I do know that we can share the gospel with people and their lives will be changed. That woman shared with this man on the beach and he was saved right there. He didn't know nothing before that. He got saved in a moment. And God can do the same. We can be delivered in a moment. And the darkest place and the darkest heart can be transformed by the power of God. Don't underestimate the power of Jesus Christ. Don't overestimate the power of the devil, because Jesus Christ wins. Praise the Lord. Darkness and light met here, and Jesus, the light of the world, dispels the darkness. And I praise the Lord for that. But let me encourage you this. Watch out for demonic influence in your own life. He can't unsave you, but he can certainly influence you. Watch out for it. Stay away from it. But take all the godly influence you can and live under the authority of Jesus Christ, because he's commissioned us to go and to share and to see deliverance come in people's lives. And pray for young people who are so exposed to so much darkness, and expose them to the light as much as we can. I got to quit here. We're going to have breaking of bread in a moment. But praise the Lord, through Jesus Christ there is victory. I don't want to leave you with just darkness here. He is the light of the world. He conquered in this situation, and he will conquer, and he has. He will continue to do the same. Amen.